All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another fantastic edition of Ulwazi, our land and property development show that we do here, joined by none other than the man himself, that is Mr. Francisco Neshila, the seasoned urbanist, the expert, the all-knowing when it comes to land and property development. Mr. Francisco, how are you doing this morning?
It's a wonderful morning. We are only cooling down from the World Cup fever now. So it is quite a very brilliant morning. And it's quite exciting to be back and to be able to share some critical information. And we are going to unpack Ongwediva today.
Yes.
So that we deal with the three horsemen from the north, mm-hmm, in terms of development, and to be able to assess who is sitting where.
Yes, and As you alluded to, it's one of the major old towns that we're going to be dealing with today, and I'm very excited. I'm very keen to hear what is happening in Ongwediva. You know, there's kind of a rivalry between Ongwediva and the other towns. We know all the events that take place in Ongwediva and so on. So I'm very interested to hear what the data for Ongwediva looks like. And if anyone has any questions for Mr. Neshila, as always, the number in the studio is 0832-888-401. That's 0832-888-401. You can also comment. For those of you that are watching live on Facebook, on YouTube, on X, you can send us your questions there. If I see them in time, I will pose them to Mr. Neshila. And if you missed any previous episode of Ulwazi, then fear not. Simply go to the Eagle FM website. That's www.eaglefm.com.na. Go to the podcast section. It will be there. Just type in Ulwazi. Or go to the mobile application. That's free to download on the Google Play Store and the Apple App Store. Simply type in Eagle FM Namibia and it will be in the podcast section in there as well. So let's get right into it. Maybe we can start with a bit of a historical background about the town of Ongwediva.
Yeah, generally, Ongwediva was an area where tigers used to drink, back in the days at Divale Ngwe. Mm-hmm. I think that was the prominence of the area. Now, looking at the historical development, perhaps what gave Ongwediva its spark for development, it was the Hanover project, one of the Hanover projects that was done way back in the days, by a gentleman called Max Colante, Mr. Kamungu, mm-hmm, under the Swabo umbrella. So they started this development way back. So it's probably also one of the, could say, within the top 10 private registered developments in back in those days.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as the town actually then grew, a lot of people get attracted to it, especially post-independence, your middle class started to settle in Ongwediva,
mm-hmm,
and it gave us that prominence. Obviously now, then came the VTC that has been there. Then it was the private hospital that came, then UNEM came. So it just gave it that professional, ambience. And obviously then after that, quality housing started to pop up, especially sitting roundabout in Extension 11 and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
The first biggest shopping mall in the north, or still the biggest shopping mall in the north, also popped up there. So yeah, it was just a continuous of private investment, good initiative, quality developments that were popping up.
Yeah.
Now, as time progresses, there's been a lot of land development issues, especially towards Omatando site. There's a lot of land conflicts, communal land and obviously the urban expansion.
Mm-hmm.
That created the stall a bit in the growth of Ongwediva. They experienced quite a significant stagnation, of which we are going to unpack in the data to be able to just to understand as to why the stagnation, what were really the impact and what do they need to do.
Yeah.
However, we need to give credit to the CEO. I think that served almost 3 to 4 terms in Ongwediva. He did best what he could do to develop the town. And to bring it really to a very commendable development status.
Mm-hmm.
However, the last 5 to 6 years, there was a massive decline in terms of development, in terms of growth. However, some significant pockets are popping up, but on a very, very low pace.
Yeah.
They can do better, but they are sitting in between the two powerhouses. Well, as we are saying, we are looking at the three horsemen race
mm-hmm.
in the north, Ongwediva, Oshakati, and Ondangwa.
Mm-hmm.
And we are now going to unpack as to see where does Ongwediva truly sit. Now, when you look at the transaction volumes, your transaction volumes for Ongwediva, we are looking at around about, say, 930.
930?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
With a value of?
With the value of 480 million.
Mm.
485 million.
Okay.
To be specific, and okay. 100,000. With an average medium per square meter of 638.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you compare this, especially this number, Oshakati is sitting at 2,000. Ongwediva is sitting at round about...
Ondangwa, you mean?
Ondangwa is sitting around about a thousand some odds. When we look at the value we are looking at, Ondangwa is over 900 million.
Okay.
A transaction over a period of 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Oshakati, I think it was pushing around about 1.8 billion.
Okay.
With a transaction volume of also in the 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the debate is basically over. So that means that Ongwediva comes third
yeah.
in this space. Yeah?
Yeah.
The debate is over. When you look at the growth and the transaction volume between Ongwediva, Oshakati, and Ondangwa,
mm-hmm.
it just tells you that in Ongwediva, progress is very slow.
Mm.
So they need to do some changes. They need to look at some analytics. And to be able to say, how do we really address this analytics to be able to give a better perspective on development.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot needs to be done. Now, when you look at your commercial spaces in Ongwediva, you will start seeing a high vacancy rate in your commercial spaces.
Okay.
The pockets are open.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the shopping mall. It's underperforming.
Mm.
It needs a new revamp in that space. You will then also see the second shopping area, which formerly used to host ShopRite, which I think it was owned by the Development Corporation, NIDA,
yeah.
which is owned by NIDA. High vacancy rate, very much dilapidated, which actually also then gives a negative impact on the Oshana Shopping Center. We can also see the building supply shopping trading area that is also pretty much empty. So the symptoms are there.
Mm-hmm.
However, they are still attracting some positive aspect. But I feel like now Ondangwa is pushing and it's taking away the commercial and industrial spaces development.
Mm-hmm.
They are moving on a much faster rate.
Mm-hmm.
While Oshakati basically now have reignited its hub
yeah.
in terms of what it is. Its golden goose is always straight and it's pushing numbers in that space. Now, when you look at your building supply, your building material supply.
Mm-hmm.
So you will most probably, anyone setting up a building material supply warehouse, you will probably want to set up in Oshakati because that's where the numbers is. There's good growth. You are closer to the market.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you look at the volume of 450, over a span of 10 years, that's very low numbers. It's very bad numbers for investment. Something needs to happen in that space to say, how do we double up on those numbers? It will take some time to really double up. You need to put in the investment. You need to put in the hard work.
Mm-hmm.
I saw some advertisements that came through. I think it's on yesterday's newspaper. One of the town planners that is doing some extensive work in Ongwediva
mm-hmm.
is that is pushing very hard. I could see they are trying to be a bit now aggressive. But it's one aspect to be aggressive on the on the planning side, but you need equally to be aggressive on the capital side for you to be able to attract investors. But Ongwediva is not doing well currently. They need, unfortunately, it's not to say that we want to put the town in a bad negative perspective, but we are just trying to narrate the data as to what the data is telling us in terms of transactions and equally so on the development. Now, when you look at the town planning applications and the development status, they are averaging around about 12 rezonings, 12 applications on a yearly basis. Mm-hmm. For a town of such magnitude, it's extremely low, and something now needs to happen. I do foresee that on the 2026, the trajectory looks good, but we will then see where are we in the fourth quarters of this data in terms of the comparative analysis on the development. But at the moment, they are dropping down and they are doing very, 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 very bad. So Ondangwa have literally catch up significantly. They are pushing very hard. Same applies to Oshakati. It just means that Ongwediva at this point in time, it's not the right time for, it's not where you can invest. But however, for long-term investment, giving you a 10 to 20 years horizon, there might be positive changes in that arena as to where the development is going to come in. But now they need to find some good growth projects that can catapult or create more jobs in Ongwediva. The vocational training center have already expanded its course. It has, it has brought in a lot of numbers. UNAM is, as well, it's also getting close to a mature intake levels as well. So these numbers are the caterpillars of pulling numbers into Ongwediva. It's projects. It's not, we are not getting there. Now, the other negative aspect also that also hindering growth is that there is a road. The government is busy constructing a road that is connecting Ongwediva towards the Onga site on the eastern side development. Now, once you finish building that road, it takes you from, if you live in Onga and any other villages along that road, the longest you can drive on a 40 kilometer span is almost like 15 meters. So that means that now, a lot of people would rather want to come from their villages and come work into Ongwediva rather than paying the high rent and all that. We did talk about the colored community that is also forming part of the communal areas now in the north, which is quite interesting. And they are all have built along those roads, and you'll be able to see the houses very nice and well decorated. Now, what you can assess in terms of that, the impact of that road in the socioeconomic, you will now see in the old Ongwediva houses, you will see empty houses that are not occupied. And this is also one of the negative aspects that you're picking up in Ongwediva. While Ondangwa and Oshakati doesn't have those development symptoms, but you'll be able to see it in Ongwediva. And also this course is a major of concern. So there is quite of slightly some empty pockets that are open, but there is a positive aspect that is happening on the southern side of Ongwediva, where development is also moving, but it's moving on a slow pace.
Okay.
People are starting to build, but we need more capital into the services. So they need to bring up capital, and they need to look at the trajectory of Ongwediva and Oshakati. Now, on average, basically the average sales per year, what we're looking at any of those three towns, our average sales per year, we are sitting at around about, if at the maximum of 300 transfers.
Okay.
Now, if you're having three towns in close proximity, so that basically means that If you share that basket, you could easily look at around about 100 transactions in each of these three horsemen's race. So what you now need to do is to create affordability into that space. Now, the other critical thing is that your land, your land cost in Ongwediva is high. While in Oshakati, we are running at 450 per square meter on average market value. While in Ongwediva, you are sitting at 600. Let me just get this data here to be more specific. You are sitting at 638 per square meter. That is a critical number.
So what would be the reason for such a huge difference? If I assume the land is of the same quality, same nature, why such a difference in price?
Okay, the difference in price is equally, it can be influenced because of your compensation aspect,
mm-hmm.
in terms of your servicing, your engineering design of your land. These are also issues that can have an impact. You know, when I'm saying compensation, is basically what we're trying to say is that for any town boundaries to expand, local authority needs to buy out people and all these aspects.
Mm.
Now, all that costs obviously trickles down then to your top structure.
Okay.
And then the other aspect as well, and this is one thing that Namibia is not fully aware of. We need to start looking into what we call layout efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
Now, layout efficiency is where you'll be able to make a proper thorough study where a planner does the layout, the engineer does the costing, the property valuer does the land valuation, and then you use the market data to be able to determine whether we have affordability or not. But at the current moment, as to how 90% or the entire development in Namibia is more focused we ought to say that the middle class is 600 square meter land portion.
Okay.
Yeah. But we need to move away from that mindset. That is the biggest mistake we are making in development. And we are saying the low income is 300 square meters. Yeah. Development is very much based on location, and it's simply not, and size doesn't define what it should be. I think for those that have traveled enough around the world,
yeah,
you will understand what is a 300 square meter land parcel in the UK and all those places.
Yeah.
So we need to understand this scenario. So meaning that your layout efficiency in terms of your development approach needs now to be different.
Mm-hmm.
The moment you appoint a town planner, you appoint a property expert, you appoint an engineer, you appoint the whole stream.
Mm.
And these people need then to coordinate the development,
mm-hmm,
as to how the layout is going to be. So, but what needs to define that layout is the data.
Yeah.
You cannot just say we need 600 square meter plots in this area.
Yeah.
The data must dictate as to what you need to build. Middle class is not defined by size.
Mm-hmm.
Poor people or the low income people should not be defined by size.
Exactly.
It is looking at the affordability brackets.
Yeah.
So those in the lower bracket, that in terms of affordability, we then need to look at subsidized development.
So not to cut you off, but before we continue now to dive into the data, you know, today's show is very interesting. I feel like we could do 2 hours, even 3 hours on this.
Yeah.
But we have a question online from Redemptus Dennis, who asked, what's Ongwediva's competitive advantage versus Oshakati and Ondangwa? And adding on to that, he said, how can these three local authorities grow competitively while complementing each other? I think that's a very good question. A two-part question.
Yeah. No, it is. In terms of complements,
mm-hmm,
I think the complementary aspect, we need to look at the historical structures of the town.
Mm.
So the historical context is that let's take Ondangwa. I said Ondangwa is where people used to be recruited in Ondangwa back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
So meaning that Ondangwa basically cements itself as an employment hub.
Okay.
So that golden goose is what defines it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. People get recruited there, meaning that when people back in the days, they come there, they, Anopukaya Jalelo Kaholo.
Yeah.
So that is now on Dangwa. So let's keep that in mind.
So people were coming even from Ongwediva, from Oshakati to work in Ondangwa.
No, to get recruited, meaning that the offices, like especially your NAMDEP offices and all that, were based in Ondangwa, and people were getting recruited there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, and people coming from Angola and all other countries, especially from the southern of Angola, they get recruited it's because why we have a huge Angolan population or Angolan affluence within, okay, despite now the border issues, is because of those recruitment.
Okay.
And some of our fathers basically came from there and they got jobs there, and then they start building families in especially in the north.
Yeah.
Now, going back to Oshakati Shipindi, it's a trading hub.
Mm-hmm.
It is just a natural trading hub. That's why you see that their informal market is the biggest in the country.
Okay.
It is because its essence is about, it's built on trading.
Mm-hmm.
Now, any local authority management, you need to make sure that you capture the essence of your development. Now, those are the three significance. Now, coming into Ongwediva generally, it was a waterborne area.
Okay.
So meaning it's a waterborne area, so that means that it will be very good for recreation.
Yeah.
Recreation perhaps could be one thing that Ongwediva should strive in. They should look into more entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe to make a very distinctive example is to look at Wolfish Bay in Swakopmund.
Okay.
Swakopmund got the most beautiful hotel, coffee shops, restaurants, fine dining, good food.
Aquarium,
you know, it's just leisure. It's just leisure. And while Wolfish Bay is more industrial, it's a buzzing, very busy. You know, smoke is all over, pumping, everyone is busy, and it's all about industries, trucks, heavy trucks, trains, and boats, and man, it's just a busy activity during the day.
Yeah.
And while Swakopmund is now a bit slightly different, it offers more of a residential kind of a nature.
Mm-hmm.
So you will see that the ambience of Ongwediva, apart from the ocean that we have in Swakopmund, they should take that away, and obviously now the desert, they should take that away and say, how can we bring Ongwediva similar activities in terms of leisure into that space? And secondly, also they need to work hard on the academia perspective, building very strong institutions to be able, they must attract very strong institution in those spaces so that they are able to do that. So now that is basically now the competitive and how they can able to complement each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's more on understanding your historical development, and you need now to find that niche that you center your development around it. So that becomes a critical aspect and a critical space to analyze.
So you, in your view, do you think Ongwediva still needs to discover that niche, or do they have one that they need to get back to?
At the current moment, Ongwediva is operating boneless. Mm-hmm. They need to find the spine. They need to find the spark. So you need to invest in extensive research, analytic data for you to be able to understand it. It is not, the answer is not in the structure plan.
Mm-hmm.
The answer is in the social, the answer is in the people itself.
Mm.
It's not on to say it's something that is, it is the inhabitants' behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they need to also find a way as to how do they really capture and how do they accommodate the impact of the road infrastructure that is done by government so that it doesn't impact their town negatively.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have a brother that works in Ongwediva
and
he lives in Onga.
Okay.
He works at VTC.
Mm-hmm.
So he prefers to drive to Ongwediva than to stay there.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
So The one of the biggest concern was when it's raining, the road becomes very slippery coming from that side. But it seems to me now government have responded to the public need, and so there's quite the and because Ongwediva is also squeezed in the middle, it's very difficult to define yourself, because either side you are just boxed in, you know, you are boxed in and you are unable to express yourself. So you need really a creative mindset, you know, a creative mindset that do a development trajectory study. Basically for all these three towns needs to come together.
Mm-hmm.
They maybe have one consultant, and this consultant then develop a development trajectory investment plan for the three, so that they don't compete each other, so that they just as unique as they can be.
Yeah, you know, I find the point about Ongwediva needing, you know, to find its niche, to find a reason for people to go there, very interesting, because, you know, when we spoke about Ondangwa especially, we spoke about them needing to get tourist attractions, you know, we spoke about them needing to have facilities to host more conferences and things of that nature. And I say that because, you know, for a long time, I didn't even know that there were other trade fairs in the country other than the Ongwediva trade fair. That I only came to know that recently because of how big the Ongwediva trade fair was. And, you know, places like, when I think of B&Bs in the north, I think of Ongwediva. When I think of, you know, they used to, I think Benny's Park is still open, but when Benny's Park opened, you know, I saw that as a major attraction. So, in my view now, thinking intuitively as an average person, I would think that Ongwediva already has these things that attract people to the town. What's the missing link? Because, Ondangwa, for example, doesn't have the things that I just spoke about. There's no, I mean, Ondangwa does have a trade fair, but it's not in comparison to the Ongwediva one, you know. So what exactly is the missing link?
Now, you spoke about the trade fair. Yeah. And perhaps those of you who are very fortunate to have been visited France.
Yeah.
There's a street which they call the Boulevard.
Mm.
That's where basically the Boulevard started. And it was a directive by Napoleon.
Mm-hmm.
So Napoleon wanted to center France as a global trade center.
Mm-hmm.
So they created this boulevard that is going towards this glittering trade center.
Yeah.
So now, and that's where basically where the trade models have started, where a lot of towns have adopted.
Mm-hmm.
It is a Napoleon initiative. Which is called the Enlightened Dictator.
Okay.
And now an enlightened dictator is probably the leadership structure that you now need in Ongwediva.
Mm-hmm.
You need that kind of leadership. Yeah. Not very much driven by politics,
mm-hmm.
but a CEO with a very strong vision that, you know, he needs to put his foot down to say, politicians, we are moving this direction. It's painful for your votes,
mm-hmm.
but it is the right thing to do for the town.
Yeah.
Now, looking at the trade center, you then need to understand as to how do you then, every year you heard about it's sold out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The stalls are sold out. It's bumper. It's packed and all that.
Yeah.
But how do you build off that link?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How do you build off that link? And that is the most important. It means that you need to understand your spatial structure needs to change.
Okay.
So your meaning that your spatial structure needs to change is that we now need to bring in an urban designer into Ongwediva
mm-hmm.
to be able to unpack the spatial structure so that we can uplift the ambience of Ongwediva
mm-hmm.
to give it that leisure and to give that trade atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to anchor on the strong points that you have. Now, once you do that, so you now have a continuous, like your trade center should not be a dead beat. Yeah. There's now auction houses that are taking place. You need to provide SMEs in the auctioning space to say, guys, so let's go for weekend auctioning.
Mm-hmm.
Now in the weekend auctioning, we have an electronic auctioning space. We have a car auctioning space.
Mm-hmm.
We have a cattle auctioning space, because that yard is big.
Yeah.
So you have different sectors of auctioning. So you now go to the auction and you do auctioning and people selling secondhand stuff and on and all that.
Yeah.
So you need to, your space needs to function continuously.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a space that is just functioning three times a year, that means your planning is very poor.
Exactly.
Now let's look at the what they do in Europe. They do amusement parks, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having an amusement park, you have activities, you bring in a train for the kids to ride. You know, center it around that. But at the same time, that activity does not disturb the main activity when the time comes.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
So you need to look at those activities and then you create this very vibrant, active amusement park trade center. That is what we need to start thinking. And you then walk around it and you develop the idea further so that you can maximize bringing in small businesses, you know, and creating a creative industry around it for people to come and perform and all that. So you centered it around the youth and the small businesses. You know, the North is all about small businesses.
Yeah.
It's all about SMEs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that is basically, now one of the other limitations in the Ongwediva is the suburb disengagements. You know, when your suburb disengage from the town itself, it doesn't form part of the town. It becomes a bit of a problem for to attract investments and all that. Now, when we talk about the disengagement, as you look at when you enter into Ongwediva, especially where you have the roadblock and you have the AMTA trade area.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at AMTA, by the time you're already in Ongwediva, by the time you get there, you still don't feel like as if you're in Ongwediva.
Yeah, it's true, actually.
Yeah,
it's true,
you don't feel like it
because
there's a disengagement around it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even when you're talking about UNEM, Ongwediva UNEM Center, you don't talk about the UNEM Education Center. You're more talking about the engineering.
Mm-hmm.
But the UNAM Education Center is one of the oldest teaching colleges in the country.
Okay.
It got disintegrated out of the town.
Mm-hmm.
But yet again, it has that significant. It has a beautiful architecture building that has been there for many years.
Mm-hmm.
That's a beautiful architecture. But the way we have boxed it in, we are failing to celebrate it.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to somehow say, how can we use... which could easily be one of the tourist attraction as feature in that space.
Mm-hmm.
The tourism industry in Ongwediva is completely dead. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's of non-existence. And this is a big problem.
That's why I brought up Benny's Park, because I mean, personally, I used to go there when it first opened. I used to go there all the time and it was so full, but today it's like, it's kind of a white elephant, so to say.
Yeah. Benny's Park, basically, it just fails to reignite itself.
Mm-hmm.
But you have the town council. You see, when you have a very strong entrepreneur and someone set up such a big investment, as a local authority, you need to make sure that you attract complementary developments around that area so that you can give it that strength. But the moment when you look at the area where Benny's Park was, it was not connected.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at, I don't know what you call the small mall in Ongwediva, not Oshana Mall, is it the Makalani Mall or with the spur?
Okay, okay.
Yeah. But when you look at that whole stream there, there's no connection.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, there's just pockets all over, no connection whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So we need to find that connection. So people must be able to walk from the corners, from the former corner shop to that Makalani shopping center. You should be able to walking trails,
yeah,
covered up, shaded,
mm-hmm,
trees,
mm-hmm,
purposefully made, you know. And it needs to, and the properties on the other side is operating towards the back of the main road. So the entrances is on the other side. Yes, I understand, but you can't give, it's your major activity note, but the way it's structured is just, it's just wrong.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's completely something. So something really needs to change into that space. Now, coming back basically now to the data.
Yeah.
I mean, with a population of 28,200 people, that is what basically the previous census that has recorded.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we look at into the energy sector space, yeah, and energy sector and environmental position of Ongwediva, there is no solar park at all. I think this is a potential to develop. Wind potential, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
Currently in the region, there is no active EIA, in the region, in that particular, space. Now, if you don't even have an EIA, it just means that there's no development. There's no significant, investment around it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you look at your
not to cut you off, but we have a caller on the line, so let's take a listen to what they have to say. They just hung up. Do call back, 0832-88-401. That's 0832-88-401. You may proceed.
Yeah. Now, when you look at your infrastructure space, now what we're doing here to Lwazi,
mm-hmm,
we're also doing infrastructure analysis and development. And this is one of the new features that we are also bringing up into the show.
Mm-hmm.
What I've just explained to you, what is the EIA aspect, your solar, your energy aspects as well.
Yeah.
Now, when you look at your fire pressure in Ongwediva,
mm-hmm,
your fire pressure is moderate to low. Yeah. That is, it's now. And I know a lot of people won't really understand what is moderate to low fire pressure,
mm-hmm,
but until such then your house starts burning down and the response or the fire pressure is not sufficient, it becomes a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and your insurances, because if you have low fire pressure, you have a very high insurance because,
mm-hmm,
your building can burn out completely.
Yeah. Now,
And that is one of the big issues. And obviously now when your fire pressure is not proper,
mm-hmm,
so investments, you won't attract big investment industries because it becomes then a high risk situation.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah. So it's very important that local authorities needs to understand the spaces.
Eagle FM, hello. I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
Good. Yeah, Ongwediva. Ongwediva is a very wonderful place when you look at it, but in terms of housing, so people are really building housing there. But when I stroll around, even that Hanover that was mentioned there, because my sister was staying there for some years back, long, long, long. But when you look at the whole environment of Ongwediva, so you discover that from even that, corner shop there, I think it is one of the first things that I also came to know. But all over around there, you don't even see a sport field, apart from the one in the UNAM engineering campus. And also the ones that are those housed by the schools. I don't know, maybe I miss it. But in terms of the tourist attractive places, maybe when you go that side, maybe on the east, where behind the choppers there, maybe if you go there, you might identify perhaps some streams or some areas. But we've seen that on the river there. I'm not seeing anything like, apart from this Benz Park and where if one can go, or there are also good trees where can one can sit under the under there, you know, for shade. But I'm looking at the area. No, I don't see any sport field even. For our young ones in the, within the community, I don't see them. Except that side of where another was, there are young ones who are playing around here, small field, between now that Ongodira and the Shakati, somewhere there, just nearby there. Otherwise, I don't see anything. When people are developing, when developers are coming, then they also look at those sport fields and just to have something done for the community. I haven't seen those things. But in terms of housing, you see people are building houses and all these other things. So the prospect is good. And maybe the developers and entrepreneurs, like Mr. Nesila said there that yes, maybe they need to mobilize and convince the politicians that is, when people are coming to vote, they want to get also the benefits, to enjoy the benefits, economic benefits.
Yeah.
Benefits. But so, I don't know what can be done.
Yeah, we'll give Mr. Nesila some time to touch on that one because we're running out of time. So thank you very much for your contribution.
I think that one is enough. We are happy with Mr. Nesila coming to give us this statistical information.
Okay, no, thank you so much. I do understand, guys. As I said, time is running out. Ngwediva has quite an interesting perspective to give.
Mm-hmm.
I quickly want to, just so that I give the listeners the value of listening. So I would want to start off at quickly at 2016.
Yeah.
As to what were the sales transactions recorded.
Mm-hmm.
So that we have a clear understanding as to why, as we are saying that, the development trajectory in Ongwediva is going into a negative space at the moment.
Yeah.
In 2016, we recorded 138. 2017, we're looking at 155.
Mm-hmm.
In 2018, 124. 2019, 120. In 2020, we're looking at 112. In 2021, 103. In 2022, we're looking at 29.
That's a big jump.
So now we have really come into the double figures, yeah.
Is that a COVID effect, you think, or what's the reason for that big drop?
Yeah, it's a COVID effect, but that means that they were not planning enough. Enough. You see, the reflection of the high volume is the 2 year prior of planning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So in 2023, they recorded 33.
Mm-hmm.
2024, we are looking at 10 transactions. 2025, we are looking at 66 transactions.
Mm-hmm.
As of today, as of July, we are looking at 24 transactions.
Oh, wow.
So that gives you a clear indication that there is a serious, serious problem. But when you look at the projection indicators towards 2028, it's looking upwards. There's an upwards growth into okay. it. So we're still expecting some good numbers towards the fourth quarters of 2026. There is significant growth around it.
So does that mean that Ongwediva is currently preparing land and so on for 2028?
Yeah. Now, when we're saying the trajectory aspect forecast, basically this is in economic terms, you do forecast projections,
mm-hmm.
Using your socioeconomic data, inflation data, employment rate data, and all those aspects.
Mm-hmm.
So that is basically the indicators that then are coming through to be able to give us this perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So there is some positive aspects to it. But we do hope we can get to that. Now, the subsidized market in Ongwediva,
mm-hmm.
Ongwediva really doesn't have really a high subsidized market. So they are sitting in a bracket of between 6.7 subsidized markets. That means that if you're going to buy a property now in Ongwediva, make sure that if it says market value 900,000, negotiate for between 6 to 10% subsidized market. I know this is very, it will complicate matters. Mm-hmm. It's not all of the development of valuer experts understand this space, but please do refer them to Lwazi if there is an argument around the subsidized issue. Basically, the subsidized aspect is the capital which government puts into aid development in local authorities.
Mm.
And that factor has never been considered in whenever we are doing the development analysis. But through Lwazi and through the development of AI tools,
yeah.
we are bringing this analysis now to the forefront for people to be able to understand this. So it becomes a very, very critical. Your average house prices again in Ongwediva is quite high because they are looking at just very much at the high end. So your return on an investment, where you're building a house for 500,000 in Oshakati and mm-hmm. building a 500,000 house in Ongwediva,
yeah.
you have a higher return on investment because it's more your affluent people that are living in Ongwediva, your lecturers, engineers, your upper band, your upper band. While in Oshakati, you're pushing very much high volumes. So there is a positive aspect to that. Even though that is the Ongwediva has just been blocked in,
mm-hmm.
There's a lot they need to do. They need to find themselves so that they are able to, you know, to get going.
Mm-hmm.
So that for me, it's very key.
We have actually have another question online.
Okay, sure.
Where someone said, the haphazard growth of Omatondo, despite there being approved townships, how could the town council have proactively handled it and now reactively or retroactively, I think they mean, what can they do to address it and guide development accordingly? And then he also added on to that, Omatondo itself might also be a good case evidence of suburb disengagement. It's almost to say that when you're from Omatondo, you can't practically say you're from Ongwediva, although technically you are.
Yeah, I think it's a very good analysis. Mm-hmm. I think that person is really asking a question with a passion of development. Now, let's look at the gentleman that developed the Omatondo, how basically the development of Omatondo gets, you know, there was a gentleman who did like 40 or 60 houses on the outskirts of the town boundaries mm-hmm. of Ongwediva.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what then happened is that when this gentleman built these houses, he basically built it to accommodate teachers that are working in those rural areas. And what he then did is he then did an application to integrate those development into Ongwediva townlands,
yeah.
which the act makes provision for it.
Okay.
And in the same vein, there was a lot of sand mining around Omatondo as well that was happening on a very far space, on a very uncontrolled space.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that sand mining pothole there, first of all, that is already a disengagement. It's a social a segregation
okay.
by cause of human doing.
Mm.
The local authority have lost the plot in terms of negotiations, in terms of trying to talk to people on the impact around it.
Mm-hmm.
The planning profession equally so has failed the area as well in terms of doing a thorough analysis rather than to just expand the town boundaries. I always say that, especially in the north, when we expand our town boundaries,
yeah.
I think it's important we need to study the concept of Chicago. So you could create an urban island that mm-hmm. formed parts of Ongwediva And then you allow the community to manifest themselves as to how they perceive development, how they want to be integrated into Ongwediva.
Yeah.
But if you don't do as such, and you impose a structure, doesn't mean that if there are townships and all that, it doesn't necessarily mean it's a good structure.
Mm.
So we should not impose town planning layout to people to think, yes, as done professionally in an orderly manner, it's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Messiness is a good thing. Now, when I'm talking about messiness, look at India and Pakistan. Those people, they have a huge recycling industry operating in messiness. They recycle cell phones and they cast gold out of it.
Mm-hmm.
They recover gold from cell phone chips and all that. So it's a messiness industry, but it's at the end of the day, it's a recycling business. Mm-hmm. They recycle ships. It's because their town planning spaces allow for such.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there are certain cities in India that are thriving, you know, like street vendors is very much celebrated in India.
Yeah.
Highly. Now, back here, it's not. So it's important. Yeah. We are running a bit of out of time. I'm really just trying to do my best to give you an answer as best if I could.
Yeah.
But literally, the entire experts and the whole management, we have failed the people of Matando to protect them.
Mm.
We just failed. Let's not try and blame who and whatever. We have failed the plot, but if we continue on the same trajectory, we are still going to mess it up continuously.
Mm. Yeah, no, that's a very interesting point. And as you said, we are running out of time a little bit. So with the last few minutes that we have, I want to ask you, okay, do you have anything else you want to touch on before I pose this question to you?
Yeah, maybe from what you can look out for Monday.
Mm-hmm.
For Monday, we're just going to talk about really market value, the implications of market value,
mm-hmm.
to understand what really happens on a valuation.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at the aspects, I know there's a huge debate now on housing shortages and all that. So we are going to unpack that on different layer topics to understand. We will see if we get someone in studio just to enhance the discussion. But that is what we can look out for Monday.
Excellent, excellent. That will be Monday. That will be from 4 p.m. here live on Eagle FM. It will be live on radio and live on social media as well. And, of course, live on our mobile application. So my last question that I have for you today as time trickles down is if you can briefly talk about the caller alluded to this, but the role that sport has to play in the development of a town or a city. As a town planner yourself, what do you think about that? Does sport really have an important or a crucial role to play in town development, or is that sort of a luxury in addition to what actually needs to be built? Okay. Like if I think of Kietmans, for example, how can sport help a town like Kietmans?
Yeah, I think if you talk about sport,
mm-hmm.
the reason Cape Town is Cape Town today is because they have really built around sport.
Mm.
You have the Athlon Stadium in deep in the suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
You have the Newland Stadium. You have the Greenpoint Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the cricket pitches and all this sports facility, indoor hockey, multi-purpose center.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a huge sport infrastructure within that town.
Yeah.
So now, every Saturday or so, for those of us who studied in Cape Town, when you get onto a train or on a bus, you will see young guys having their bags, cricket, whatever the sports they are doing.
Mm.
They got a ice hockey center. Now, when you are at Greenpoint and there's a soccer match of Kaizer Chiefs or Orlando or the Springbok or whatever sports activity, that entire street spectrum leading towards, it's like you can call it the sports pedestrian boulevard.
Yeah.
It's fully packed with entertainment. Sports bars are open at just that one sports activity. You know, it allows people to get out more, and that is what you need. That we should not even debate about what sports can do.
Yeah.
We should rather say, let's do it, but it must integrate into society. It must not disintegrate society.
100%. And we'll wrap up on the other side of this commercial.
Dreaming of a better future abroad? Namdeen's Investment CC can help make it happen. Whether you're a teacher, caregiver, nurse, doctor, IT professional, driver, construction worker, graduate, or looking for work, we provide trusted visa facilitation and consultancy services for visitor visas, high-paying jobs abroad, international study opportunities, scholarships, and recognized qualifications. For more information, contact +264 81 376 0041 or WhatsApp +264 81 806-2044 today. Namdeen's Investment CC, opening doors to global opportunities.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We have now run out of time, so we'd just like to thank Mr. Nashila once again for his time. We let's give him a round of applause. And as he said, we will be back on Monday. That is 4 p.m. live on your number one favorite talk radio station. And as always, if you want to catch up on past episodes of Ulwazi, if this was your first time tuning into Ulwazi, then fear not, because they are all available for you on the Eagle FM website as well as the Eagle FM mobile application. Just go to the podcast section and type in Ulwazi and you'll have access to all the great information that Nashila has brought for us. Mr. Nashila, thank you very much for your time today. And we wish you a good weekend ahead.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to provide perspective to our listeners. As I said, this program is here to stay. We will unpack and we will bring you the right guests for the different development topics and to make sure that your investment horizon starts with at Eagle FM.
100%. All right, gentlemen, coming up next is The Big Mic with Mind Matters. We will see you on Monday afternoon.